Welcome to Bible Truths. Today is another beautiful day in Mesa, Arizona. Today's lesson is titled, The Seeds of the Great Commission. It's a lesson about the gospel plan of salvation starting from the Old Testament. I'd like to introduce this lesson from Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, where Jesus is talking to the apostles. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. This passage of Scripture is often called the Great Commission. Well, why is that? Well, Jesus tells his apostles, he actually commands them, to go and make disciples of all the nations. Another account of the Great Commission is in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, where Jesus tells his apostles, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, this passage of Scripture connects the idea of salvation with the Great Commission. So this should be of great interest to you because it has to do with salvation, how we can be with God forever. So, as far as the idea of salvation, there is a wide variety of teaching on this subject, and it shouldn't be so. So in this lesson, we're going to try to help you understand that it's not possible to believe whatever you want on this subject. And I'd like to start off in regard to this in talking about salvation in Psalms chapter 119 and verse 160. Where God says the entirety of God's word is truth. In other words, if we take away or add to God's word, it's no longer God's word, and it's not the truth, and you can't believe it. So this is an important principle to understand, and this is something that's taught throughout the entire Bible, that we need to be careful about context and what the Bible teaches on a subject. So now let's talk about the seeds of the Great Commission, which starts in the Old Testament. It goes all the way back to the first book of the Bible in Genesis, in chapter 3, where most people are familiar with the story about Adam and Eve, where Satan causes them to sin, and as a result of that, they're kicked out of the Garden of Eden. So let's pick up the story in verse 15, where God is speaking to Satan. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So God is saying to Satan that there's going to be enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, Eve, that is, and between your seed and Eve's seed. And that seed is talked about throughout the Old Testament and is spoken about at that seed as being Christ, Jesus Christ. Then he goes on and says, He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. When he says he'll bruise your head, that has reference to Christ crushing Satan's head. And there's a reference to that in the New Testament, Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. And you shall bruise his heel in reference to Satan biting the heel of Christ, if you will. And this idea of seed doesn't just stop in Genesis 3. It's spoken about in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, where Seth is appointed as the seed. And we see that seed noted in Genesis chapter 11, and in particularly Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. In fact, this is a very key passage here, where it says, "In Abram, all the families of the earth will be blessed." And so, all the families of the earth will be blessed through Abram. In other words, a descendant of Abraham, or Abram as he's noted here. And so, this is the seed that is spoken about in Genesis chapter 3 and in chapter 4. And so, the idea of the seed of Eve that's spoken in chapter 3 is taught throughout the entire Bible, and especially in Genesis, where you have Abraham has a descendant, and his seed, his picked, is Isaac. And then Isaac has some children, and Jacob is the one that is picked, and his name is changed to Israel. And it goes all the way down to King David in the Old Testament, and finally, the application is made to Christ in the New Testament. That's the seed that all nations will be blessed through the seed of Abraham. And he is noted in the New Testament as the Savior. So why is there need for salvation, though? Well, in Genesis chapter 3, in verses 22 through 24, because Adam and Eve sin, they are driven out of the Garden of Eden. And there's a consequence to that. They don't have fellowship with God anymore. And they die spiritually. Well, what about us? How does that apply to us? Well, we sin also. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It says all sin. In fact, everyone sins. And so we have the same problem that Adam and Eve had. And so in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it adds something to this. Let's read it. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the wages of sin earns us spiritual death. If we stay in sin, we're going to earn spiritual death and separation from God. And then there's a contrast in this verse. It says, "But the gift of God is eternal life." So we need to pay attention to what this means. Because if we get that blessing of eternal life, the Bible will tell us how to do that. Well, what else do we need to know about sin and what it does? Well, Isaiah chapter 59 and verses 1 and 2 says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Sin, you see, separates us from God. So much so he won't even hear us. And so we have a problem. And so God gave us a plan. He put a plan in place so that we could have salvation. And that's what this lesson is about, the seeds of the Great Commission, how we can have the hope of salvation. So in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, again, we're going to just read verse 3. It says, "All the families or nations will be blessed through a descendant of Abraham." That's what it basically says. And in this verse, he's noted as Abram. But in Genesis chapter 17, God changes Abram's name to Abraham so he can be a father of many nations. Now, there's a reason God made this covenant with Abraham. And Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18 gives us the reason. Now, notice how he puts it. "In your seed," that's Abraham's seed, "all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Why? "Because you have obeyed my voice." So it says a descendant of Abraham all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Now, this idea of obedience that Abraham has shown and the reason the covenant is made with him is something that's very important, because this is something that's taught throughout the entire Bible, that we must be obedient, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, if we hope to inherit the promise of eternal life, that we must be obedient to God. Now, let's look at this passage more specifically and what this means. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, that all nations will be blessed through the seed of Abraham. Well, in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 29, it gives a detailed explanation about what it's all about. We're going to read portions of this passage of Scripture. We're going to start in verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So here is a passage in the New Testament making reference to the passage of Scripture that's quoted here, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. The son of Abraham, all nations shall be blessed. Now, let's pick that up in verse 13 now. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So this passage talks about being redeemed from the curse of the law. More specifically, it talks about the redeemed being from the curse of the law of Moses, primarily. That we can be redeemed from the curse of that law. And it tells us how we can have that. And he tells us at the end of verse 14, he says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we have access to the promise of the Spirit. Now that promise he's talking about is the promise he made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. He just quoted it earlier in verse 8. So let's look at verse 16. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say to seeds as of many, but as of one, and your seed who is Christ. So he identifies specifically that the seed is Jesus Christ. And that's how we have the possibility of salvation. It's only through his sacrifice for our sins that that's possible. And that's what's being stated here. Let's go on further here in verse 26. He says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Okay, so this passage says that we're sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We need to trust what Jesus says. And this is all inspired of God. And Jesus is God. So he says here, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And he says that we're all one in Christ. In other words, there's no such thing now as a separation now. If we do what God says, there's not Jew and Gentile. There was a big separation in the past, and now there isn't with the sacrifice of Christ. That's what this suggests. And then in verse 29, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, if we are Christ, we remain faithful to Christ, he says, we are Abraham's seed, and then we can get the promise. We can be blessed, be one of those blessed by that. So, what do we conclude generally about these passages of Scripture? First of all, that faith is connected with this promise, and also baptism is connected with this promise. Well, let's look at another passage that explains Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 in detail. In Acts chapter 3, verses 16 through 26, starting in verse 18, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. In other words, we can have forgiveness of sins if we repent. That's what he said so far. Drop down verse 23. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet, he's speaking of Jesus Christ, shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And yes, all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many have as spoken, have foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And to you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. This passage of Scripture says, first of all, that all the prophets spoke about this time period, like we had made reference to earlier, beginning from Genesis on throughout the Old Testament spoke. And so it makes a connection here that repentance is very important. In verse 19, he says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And then he talks about in verse 26 that God raised up Jesus to bless you, that we turn away from our sins and start doing what's right. In other words, repent. Again, he stresses repentance and salvation here as very important. So now let's go back in time a little bit to the Gospels in Matthew chapter 28, where this hadn't been fulfilled yet. Well, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the passage that we read at the beginning of our lesson, let's read that again. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Notice this passage of Scripture says it's for all nations and is connected with baptizing. Another account of the Great Commission is Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And it says it a little bit differently, where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So he says, this is to every creature. And he who believes and baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. So this is another account of the Great Commission. And the context is, Jesus has died for our sins. He's been raised from the dead, and he's talking to his apostles here. He hasn't gone back to heaven quite yet. And let's read Luke chapter 24, verse 47. One more account of the Great Commission. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So again, all three of these passages talked about all nations or all creatures or all people is the idea. Now, the first fulfillment of the Great Commission directly is in Acts chapter 2, where we have Peter and the apostles there on the day of Pentecost. And Peter is preaching to the Jews about Jesus. Jesus has already returned back to heaven. And this is what he says after he talks about how they had murdered Jesus by putting him to death. Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Well, notice what he says in this passage. For the promise of salvation is to who? To you, the Jews, and your children, and to all who are far off. That would be the Gentiles, because they didn't have the written law like the Jews did. As many as the Lord our God will call. So let's look at the application of the promise. In Psalm chapter 119, verse 60, again, where it says, "The entirety of God's word is truth." Remember how I had quoted that and how if we change God's word, add to, or take away from, it's not God's word anymore? Well, the promise of salvation, remember what we talked about? We talked about it involves faith, it involves baptism, it revolves repentance, and it all is connected with salvation. Well, let's look at a couple examples of how people think you can be saved. One is, people think you can just pray Jesus in your heart and that you can be saved. But that is not part of this promise. It's not connected even remotely to this promise. So that would eliminate this example that people tend to want to say is how you're saved. Well, another example is some people believe in faith or belief only. That idea is eliminated too, because we saw that it included faith and baptism, repentance, and other things. Like people like to quote John 3:16 and say that's faith only. Well, they fail to look at the rest of John chapter 3 and what it says. So anything less that is connected to the promise is automatically eliminated. So what does the promise consist of? Well, it's faith and belief again. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says that. So does Mark 16:16. And in regards to that too, part of that belief is having the belief enough to be able to confess that belief. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, is more specific on that. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So this passage of Scripture talks about the importance of confessing that Jesus is Lord. Not just your personal Savior, but he's Lord. He's your boss, in other words. Now, also what's involved in this promise? Well, repentance, as we talked about before in Acts 3 and verse 19, and also baptism, as we quoted in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. Once again, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So this passage of Scripture says that we're sons of God through having the faith and trust enough to do what God says. And the last step to get into Christ is being baptized, because that's how you get into Christ, is through baptism. That's what this passage says. And when you line it up with Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and you run it all through the Bible, you can see that is the logical conclusion of the matter. So what is the result of the promise then? Well, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, talks about it. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. So he makes reference to the very beginning, the beginning. What's the beginning? Well, the beginning could be all the way back to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, where we're all nations will be blessed through the seed of Abraham, and that seed promise that was made throughout the Old Testament, and is specifically meaning the application in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mm-hmm. where we have the Great Commission beginning to be fulfilled. And he says here, the promise he has given us is eternal life, if we are faithful to God. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." You see, if we stay in our sins, it equals eternal death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. We can have that salvation if we are obedient to God. Thank you so much for your kind attention. We want to invite you to tune in again, same time, same station, next week.